Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, I would welcome everyone that is here for the very first time, but you've all been here before. So welcome on this 23rd of January. Some may be a little bit longer than others, but it's so good to have you here with us today. And I would look forward to meeting your friends and family, and you to meet our friends and family, neighbors over coming weeks and months, as we all join in inviting them to church. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, before we pray again and get into the word, I just want to encourage us with something. This week, as I was chatting with Pastor Joel Crigson and him and his wife Bree, and their two daughters have moved to Hobart to plant a church there, Pneuma Hobart. And they've begun to invite people into their home, begun to reach out to neighbors and share their faith, and really from grassroots, organic, have church in their home. And he didn't ask this, but I was really burdened by this over the last couple of days, that I want to invite us as a church to be praying for them. Now, we'd be praying for Pastors Joel and Bree and their two daughters for protection. We'd be praying for favor, divine appointments as they share their faith. And I would just want to encourage us, if you maybe have friends and family in Hobart or Tasmania, maybe you don't. I just really believe that even today, inviting us over the next 2 weeks even, during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I believe God's going to burden some of your hearts to pick up the back end of intercession and pray even over the next 12 months for Pneuma Hobart to be planted. There are people that need Jesus all over the world, and they've heard the voice of God. So I just would invite us to join together in praying for them, be praying that they would see souls saved, they would see disciples made, as they've heard that whisper of God to go over and plant the church there. Is that all right? Wonderful. You ready for the word today?
Yes.
You can open up your Bible to 1 Peter 1. As you do that, I'm going to pray for us. Dear God, I thank you that your word declares in Hebrews that it's living, it's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we need your word to, Lord, pierce between bone and marrow. God, pierce between fluff in depth today. God, we need your word to highlight to us what you want to say and what you want to speak into our spirit, your heart, into our being today. God, I pray that in this moment, in this privilege to share your word, God, that I'd be so in tune with you. God, I pray for hearts to be open, eyes to be open, ears to be open. God, hearts to receive, eyes to see, and ears to hear your voice. I silence every distraction that will come up right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and this is day 7, so we're about a third of the way through, and we really just declared over this season, it's a season of consecration. And that word is a little bit old-fashioned. It's not really used that often. You don't really walk into your workplace and someone's like, hey, how's your consecration going? It's a little bit old-fashioned, but it's just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Consecration is defined as being set apart, being declared holy and sacred. And so for you and I, these 21 days are just as relevant today in this time as it was over 2,000 years ago and beyond, when God called his people, like you and me, to live a life of consecration. See, it is relevant for you and I today because there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's an intention that God would have each and every one of us to live with. But the reality is we will not be able to live the purpose that he has for us if we are not living a consecrated life. There are so many things that could become distractions for us. So many things that want to tempt us away from living in God's purpose. Wanting to put blinders over our eyes, become like little fires that we fight to try and put out. There's so many things that come up and fight for our attention. And I just really felt today that God's wanting to actually bring greater clarity to the life that we're called to live. And I see throughout the Word of God that one of the primary ways that you and I can live with clarity is when we choose to consecrate ourselves to God. Bill Johnson is a pastor, and he once said that contentment short of God's purposes would mean that we have to learn to live with the enemy. We have to live with the devil, the adversary of our soul. If we're content with living short of God's purposes, he says, when we become satisfied apart from God's ultimate purpose of kingdom advancement, then we, even as believers, learn to tolerate the devil in some area of our life. 1 Peter 1 says, verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, which is us as disciples, sons and daughters of Christ, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He, speaking of God, who called you and is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter is reminding the believers that they're called to live a consecrated life. See, consecration means to be set apart, to be holy as God is holy. And this is really the foundation of what I believe God wants to speak into our hearts this day, at this month, at this hour for us as a church and as believers, that we would be reminded of what God has called us to. And even in this scripture, throughout the Bible, we see that what God's called us to is very clear. Like, you can't read that and not have clarity around, does God ask me to live holy or not holy? We read that, it's pretty obvious, pretty clear, the type of life that God calls us to as believers. He calls us to live a holy life, but not just a holy life. He calls us into holy service. There's a commission that we have as believers. There's a calling that we have as individuals and as a corporate church. And there's things that God has called us to that are dependent upon whether we set ourselves apart or not. Jesus himself declares in John 14, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And great works than these will he or she do. He says, because I'm going to the Father. And so whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You notice how Jesus says there are great things that we are called to do. But it's not by just choosing the things we prefer to be obedient to in the Word of God. But not just choosing tradition and religion to follow. He doesn't say, just choose any religion. Just choose any tradition, any man-made religion or tradition. Choose those things and you're going to see great, mighty things done. No, the essence of what Christ is saying is if you want to see great and mighty things done, you need to be a part of me. You need to abide in me, which means we've been set apart from other things. Are you getting that today? See, when I was growing up, my dad said and spoke over me again and again and again, Donald, you are a leader. When I was one time doing my clothes and wash, because we didn't know how to do that, my laundry, we were about 5 years old, so that's when I had this kid going under your laundry. He came into the laundry one time and said, Donald, you're a leader. I'm like, Dad, that's weird. Doing my clothes. After sport, he'd be like, Donald, you're a leader. You're a leader. You're a leader. The most random times, and seemingly some of the best times, he declared, you're a leader. You're a leader. You're a leader. See, my dad was declaring something over my life that I didn't believe. And I didn't even know. Growing up, I was one of the most shy and timid. I was going to say shimmy, just to clarify, shimmy is what I was going to say, which is a combination between shy and timid, okay? Just to clarify, there's not a word that's But if you do go to Joshua 3, it does call a place Shittim. So we'll just say it's okay. Okay? Thank you for joy. Shy and timid, okay? Shittim is the new word. Genuinely, I was one of the most shittim kids that there was. If I was in a new environment, I'd hide behind my parents. I would not speak to people I didn't know. I was extremely shy and timid growing up, and yet my dad's declaring over me, "You're a leader, you're a leader, you're a leader." And I didn't find out until later in life that my name actually means leader. When I was a young teenager doing production, actually, it wasn't at the front, it was in the back, in a room, dark room. I was doing a sound, and I was actually hiding because I didn't want to see people. And there's a point in my life where God evidently was trying to break through and intervene on what the potential was about to happen. And the youth pastor comes up to me and he says, "Don, I have a picture of what I want to share with you, of what I feel like God wants to share with you during worship." And he said, "The picture I had was of a torch. And generationally, there's this torch that has been handed down in your family from generation to generation. And what I saw is that torch then was in your hands. And as you began to run with the torch of faith in your family, it began to ignite other family members, siblings, cousins, extended family, that God's called you to carry the torch of faith in your family. And if you do not carry that torch, then there's going to be things in God's purposes for you and your family that will not come about." And yet the reality is, as a teenager, regardless of what my dad spoke over me, and even words that were revealed to me, I was not willing to set myself apart from God. I was not willing to live a life that was different than my friends. I didn't fully understand everything, and yet I was not willing as a teenager to set myself apart. And so what ended up happening is years past that point, I began to not just reject things spoken over me, but I began to run completely in rebellion to God. I began to pursue and seek out an entirely different life. See, for you and I, the purposes of God are real. And they can be tangible, but the reality of whether you and I live in them or not is dependent upon if we choose to set ourselves apart for God. See, why is it an issue to choose to not set ourselves apart for the things that God has? Well, the issue is because we cannot be used by God to transform the things we're still conformed to. I'm going to say that again. We cannot be used by God to transform the things that we're still conformed to, because we're not only lack clarity, but we're also not going to be set up to be in a holy service for God. In 1 Peter 1:14, Peter says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." Passion Translation says it like this: "Never again shed your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better." Verse 15, "Instead, shed your lives to become like the Holy One who called you." God can and will use our pain, our suffering, and even the things that we have been conformed to as weapons of transformation. He can and he will use those things to breathe life into other people. But it has to be from a point of victory. Meaning, as we have been transformed and brought out of those ways of living, former ignorance, former habits, former speech, former thoughts, as we've been brought out of those, then God can use the victory of that to see transformation in other people's lives. See, salvation is in a moment. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive salvation in us, but then the rest of our life is a process. It's a journey of being sanctified. That word declares being made more like Jesus. Being sanctified actually means to become more and more like Jesus. And we can only be sanctified if we choose to be set apart for God, to consecrate ourselves. And so salvation is in a moment, but we have to be willing to go on a journey past 21 days of prayer and fasting, but to live a life where God's ways are the ways that we follow. I'm going to say something really obvious today, but I'm going to unpack it a little bit more. If you and I are fitting into the culture around us, then it means we can't stand out in the things of God. It's really obvious, and yet I feel like this is what the Holy Spirit is just putting his finger upon right now. We as the people of God are called to stand out. That's the byproduct of being set apart. Is because we are holy, more and more like Christ as he is holy. That we are sacred, we are set apart, and yet the world will not see that we are set apart if we are fitting in. We cannot fit into the culture of the world, whether that's even in our thought process of fear and anxiety and worry of the day and age. We cannot fit into the culture of the world and truly live with clarity as the people of God, being a light to the world around us. And so I want to ask us today, does your life look any different than the people in your world who do not have faith in Jesus? And I'm not just talking about your clothes or your haircut. Are your religious speech? What about your pursuits? What about your habits? What about your passions? What about your priorities? Is it evident to the people in your world that there's something different about you? Because we are called to look different than the people in this world. Peter says, do not live according to your former ignorance when you did not know better. See, I cannot say to Hannah that I'm faithful to her and to her alone and then go sleep around with other women. We've stepped into a covenant relationship of marriage, meaning that I declare, we've committed that I and us are one, and we are set apart together for one another, forsaking all others. Budgeting is a really practical and useful tool. And budgeting, in essence, is declaring, Jake, before I even get my paycheck, it's been set apart into specific areas and categories. It's already been designated where my money's gonna go, even before it comes in. So budgeting is a tool that is similar to being consecrated, because before it even comes in, no, that's set apart for my tithe, that's set apart for rent, that's set apart for generosity, set apart for food. And so when we budget things, we're declaring, I'm already saying no to some stuff with my income because it's already been set apart, it's been budgeted into where it needs to go. We understand these principles often when it comes to areas of life. And yet, as people of God today, I believe God is asking us, would we apply it to our relationship with Him? Would we apply the same principle even beyond budgeting and beyond even a marriage covenant? Would we apply that to our relationship with God? Because in God, we have a covenantal relationship with Him, meaning that we've chosen to follow Him, forsaking all other paths, all other ways, all other habits. So my question for us is, are you willing for God to highlight areas in your life that need to be changed, that need to be transformed? See, this is why prayer and fasting is so significant. Because it's a spiritual discipline where you and I forego food. One of the most basic urges and necessities of our flesh is food. And when you and I forego food, and don't just not have food, but fill that time intensely and intentionally with praying and seeking God, what ends up happening is something supernatural. Just like Benny was saying, as he's been praying and fasting, it's amazing that his physical hunger is no longer there because the Spirit of God is filling him supernaturally. See, prayer and fasting is more than a religious duty. It is a spiritual opportunity for you and I to gain greater clarity to the life that God has called us to live. Prayer and fasting, I think, and through conversation, even the last 5 years leading this church, a lot of years beyond that, is one of the most undervalued and left out weapons of our faith. And yet it is the weapon that you and I must pick up and wield if we are going to overcome certain spiritual battles and to live with greater clarity what God's called us to. If our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before he began his ministry, went into the wilderness and prayed and fasted for 40 days, I think some of us need a little bit of some prayer and fasting to gain some greater clarity of what God has called us to. Prayer and fasting goes directly to the core of our flesh. We're saying, God, I'm utterly dependent upon your supernatural power and presence. God, I'm seeking you greater than the urges of my flesh. I'm seeking you to gain greater clarity of maybe a decision that needs to be made, a step that needs to be taken, a battle that is being waged. See, if you and I are still conformed to the ways of this world, we will lack clarity in the life God's called us to. And I really believe over the next 2 weeks that there are some of us in this room that have been asking God for things, and yet I believe that if you would actually set the time and the decision to choose to pray and fast, even a middle of day, that there will be greater clarity that will come to decisions that you need to make. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. See, God calls us to consecrate ourselves because it's in this place of being consecrated he reveals greater clarity of what he has for us. You know, if we begin to understand this concept and this reality of consecration, we will begin to see it all throughout the Bible. In Romans 12, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3. And it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters of Christ, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Consecrated. Which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, the Apostle Paul is one of the most impacting men of faith in the Bible in following Jesus Christ for me. Because I see in his life this desirous urge and this commitment to live sacrificial for the life that God had called him to. And in Romans 1:1, Paul's writing to the Roman church, and he says in this letter, like many other letters, he declares with clarity the calling on his life. In Romans 1:1, he says, I am Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And I'm challenged, and I want to challenge us, would we be able to have as much confidence in clearly declaring what God has called you not to? Because he's a man of flesh. Yes, the Holy Spirit within him, but he's just like you and me. And yet I see when I look at his life and study his life, I believe there's so much clarity that God brought to him and significance that God did through him because he lived a consecrated life. So much so that in victory, he can declare to the Roman church, hey, if
you will live in view of the mercies of God as a living sacrifice set apart, sacred and holy for God. Do that as your spiritual worship and then be renewed by the word of God in your thinking. God will bring clarity to his will for your life. So much so he can declare those words that have become absolute truth for us in the word of God. And there's some things in the life of Paul that I'm going to highlight for us when we look at his life, because for us they communicate a life of consecration. The first thing is that Paul encountered Jesus Christ. He encountered God. He had a personal encounter with God, but beyond the encounter, he made a personal decision of receiving Jesus Christ in his life as his Lord and Savior. And then from that point, we see in Acts 9, where he was blinded from encountering God. He received faith in Jesus Christ. He was prayed for. His eyes were healed. During that time, he was actually praying and fasting. Look it up. In Acts 9, it says he went 3 days without food and drink. He's praying and fasting. He was healed. And then it says immediately he went and began to share his faith. The faith that he was persecuting 4 days earlier, where he was going to put Christians in jail, even advocating for them to be killed. The faith that he was persecuting, he now became a servant of. And so he set himself apart. He began serving immediately. In that time frame, he was water baptized, which is a declaration to be identified with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual act of being consecrated for Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so he was water baptized. He began serving straight away. And then we see from there, specifically and through implication with his teachings, he began to teach what a consecrated life for a disciple can begin to look like. He spoke into prayer. He spoke into giving, the tithe, the generosity. He spoke into fasting. And then we see a point in Acts 13 when a number of the believers were gathered together in a corporate time similar to this, a prayer and fasting. God brought increased clarity to a further step of his ministry. As we're praying and fasting in Acts 13, the Spirit of God spoke. And God said, set apart for me. There it is again. Barnabas and Saul for the work that I prepared for them. I want to tell you today, there is a work that God has prepared for you. And there's clarity that God will speak into about that. It will not be the same as somebody else. It will look similar. But your calling is individually unique, and yet it's corporately unified. So I want to encourage you over these 21 days, prayer and fasting, would you ask God, God, would you give me greater clarity to what you've called me to at this time, at this day, at this hour, a part of this church? And he might speak to you about something that is different than what you thought. He might speak to you about interceding even more for your extended family. He might speak to you about joining in with kids. He might speak to you about being a part of connections. He might speak to you about an area of your workplace. And he's inviting you to open up a life group at your workplace. And you're like, God, I don't know about you. If you believe it's my workplace, he's like, great. Because life group's not just for followers of Jesus. I want to not just invite, but urge you over the next 14 days to make the decision to seek God in a different way, to forego food medically if you're able to, and to allow God to speak with greater clarity what it is that he has for you. And what I found is it's often the next step or a grace or a thing that he's put a burden on our heart for. It's not the entire journey, because that would overwhelm us. It's often the next step. The next 14 days, seek God. When I was water baptized, after giving my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that day I was water baptized. Pastor Sally came up to me, and at the time, Hannah, we're not dating. She had pretty much no idea who I was. But she came up to me and she said, Don, I just really feel to share something with you.
And the picture and the image I get is that God has declared reserved for his purposes with a stamp, an ink stamp on your forehead. He stamped upon your head that you are reserved for the things of God. After being water baptized, after having that word, it was the point we had to move back to the United States. And during that time, I began to seek God and seek Him on purpose in life, because I'd spent so many years living for myself, so many years without contentment, satisfaction, and purpose. And I began to seek God, and I began to come up to dead end after dead end. And I began to look at schools to apply for, to come over to Australia. I felt like something was urging me, beckoning me back here in Australia. And yet every single point that I went up to was a dead end. I'm like, God, what is the point of this? Like, I want to seek your will for my life, but you're not saying anything, so what do you want me to do? And it was during that time that one of my family friends and one of my best friends here in Australia, she called me up and she said, she had no idea what was going on. She said, hey, God, I just really felt to encourage you that you're asking God for guidance. And I'm like, yes, I am. And she's like, and what I see is that you're asking God to part the Red Sea. But I believe God's asking you to just take a step into the water. See, in this passage in Joshua, what happened was God didn't part the Jordan River like the Red Sea, where they walked on dry ground. They actually had to first take a step. It was after they began to take steps into the Jordan River, where about 50 kilometers up, supposedly, the water began to stop. And so I took a step, and they said, you know what, I encourage you to spend some time fasting and praying and seeking God. And I was like, okay, I haven't ever really heard about that. And then that week, a youth group I was serving in, a guy speaking, spoke about prayer and fasting, and about the significance of not only spiritual breakthrough, but the significance time and time again, that through that place, God often bring greater clarity to things that we're seeking Him on. To see even in that place, we're willing to sacrifice even our fleshly things so that we can have an impartation to receive a step to take in our calling. And through that, I was led to come back just to visit here in Australia. From that visit, through just taking a step to get on a plane, to be in a place where I believe there's going to be divine timing to hear. Again, God spoke another word. Led me to a Bible college in Sydney for 12 months. And this is Sydney that I came to be sandpapered and grinded and thrown down in some very necessary ways that I didn't think I needed, but were absolutely necessary for what God was going to do even in me as a disciple. Since that point, time and time again, not just in moments corporately, we were invited by our spiritual oversight. Personally, there's moments where just a tap on the shoulder, and God will lead me to fast for a day, half a day, a meal I was really looking forward to at night. And it's in those moments, it's not a forcing, it's not a religious thing, it's in those moments where our Heavenly Father is asking us, hey, would you come a little closer? Because I've got some clarity that you need. I've got some insight that you're seeking me on. If you and I are going to live with greater clarity in our life, we need to choose to not just spend 21 days prayer and fasting corporately, but choose to live a life that is set apart for Him daily past that point. Would you all stand your feet? See, I don't know where I would be or what I would be doing had I not made the decision that I was going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. And it has not been easy. And there's been many days where I've got more questions than answers. But choosing to follow God anyways is a life of faith. And I can only but tell you that the decision to be consecrated in our thinking, in our speaking, in our habits, is the life that you and I are called to. And it's on the other side of making that decision to be consecrated where there is greater clarity for our calling, but there's also greater conviction to our commission.
You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, speaking of God, who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Beloved, I urge you as temporary residents of this world and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, or those without faith in God. Keep your conduct honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Jesus declares in John 17, I do not ask that you take my disciples out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, Jesus says, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me, listen to this. Jesus declares to the Father, as He was sent into the world, so He has sent you and I into the world. He says, for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified or consecrated in truth. Church, would you make the decision to set yourself apart from God, to choose to live by the foundation of His Word as your path? Not opinions, preferences, not even just what you feel is right. The Word of God. Choosing to live by the Word of God is choosing to be consecrated for Him. Would you choose to see God and daily ask God that He would guide you and lead you, show you with more insight than life has called you to? Would you choose to read the Word individually, but also then connect with other believers in a life group? Do life with other believers to be encouraged, to be sharpened, to be built up in your faith, to be encouraged to live life consecrated. No, it's not just you, but it's us together, standing firm in the things of God. Would you choose to allow God to speak to you with greater insight and clarity over the next 14 days? Would you seek God? And there's times when I pray and fast, there's nothing obvious that happens in that season. But I know through the Word of God, He is faithful to every promise. And He declares in John 4:7 that when we choose to resist the devil has to flee from us. When we choose to draw near to God, verse 8 says, He draws near to us. My greatest prayer in these 21 days is, God, would you give me a greater passion for you, for prayer and your presence? And then from there, I'm believing for even clarity and things to share with other friends and family members, the things of God. Before we just worship in a moment, I want to encourage us on something extremely practical. Some questions for you. What are you seeking God for? Is there clarity that you need in your life? Would you seek God on that? Would you ask God to impart a greater conviction in the life that He's called you to? Every single believer of Christ is called to make disciples. It's not for a select few, it's for every single one of us. Would you ask God to not just bring clarity to your life, conviction, what He's called you to as a disciple maker? Would you ask God to create in you a greater desire for His Word, and for prayer, and for the life that He's called you to live? Would you choose to set yourself apart? On the 5th of February, we have Vision Summit. The month of February, we have a Vision Month where it's more than just an event. So some are here for the first time as a part of the church. Others of us are being reminded
by the vision that God's imparted in this church. But on the 5th of February, it's Vision Summit, it's a Saturday, and I want to invite every single one of us to join on that Saturday, and then Vision Sunday, and then the rest of that month. And the reason why is because these are not events. Every single year on Vision Summit and Vision Sunday, I hear testimony after testimony of people who have had an encounter with God. After a time of seeking Him for clarity, God has imparted guidance and steps to take. Last year at Vision Summit on the day, there was a young lady part of this location that came up to me, so moved by a panel session, and said, "Hey, Don, I want to be a part of advancing God's kingdom. I don't want to be a part of being used in Gideon's army. Sign me up." And she stepped into some areas that she didn't even see initially on her life. And over 2021, there was challenges and there was opposition that came up. And yet, she stepped into being willing to be used by God in areas that freaked her out. But she knew, she was convicted of God, that it was what she needed to be a part of. She's still going on a journey to grow in God, and yet she chose to be obedient. She chose to say, "God, if you're asking me to be a part of this, then I'm going to set apart time. And even my own preference to be a part of what you've called me to." Our own kids, Pastors Larry and Melina, last year, praying and fasting, were so moved by the Spirit of God that they said to us, so they are looking for a property in their home. They're looking all across Melbourne, the surrounding areas. And then they had the Spirit of God just whisper to them after seeking God, saying, "You need to move to Bayside." And they're so convicted of that, they cut off the search to every other area. They're like, "God, well, we're not quite sure how that's going to work, excuse me, financially. We don't even really know the area. But if you're calling us, then we're going to trust in you. We're going to set everything apart to be part of that." And because they made that decision to set their decisions apart for God, He ended up bringing a miracle provision and story through on their property that they now live in. And these are just stories and testimonies of what can happen when we choose to surrender time, food, energy, focus apart to intensely desire and seek after God. You want to live with clarity, your calling, your conviction, your commission, that you must make a decision to be consecrated to God.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.